comprehensible. And it's unbelievable that our God would have provided a way for us to spend eternity with him. Did he have to do that? He could have left us in our sin. We made a choice. We're not only sinners by birth, but we're sinners by choice. But either way, we are condemned. We are dead in trespasses and sin. And there is no hope because in and of ourselves, in the flesh, we do not seek after God. He seeks after us. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. God does what he does because of his nature. And we began talking about some of the things that are true about God's nature. We know that God is holy. We spent some time looking at that. God is just, and he is just toward his people. And of course, Romans 6:23 says that because of our sin nature, the rightful wages for sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God in a literal place called hell. Ultimately, hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire. So that's those that are Christ rejectors end up in the lake of fire. And that is forever and ever and ever because God's nature demands a payment for sin. So if one rejects God's remedy for sin, then that individual must pay the debt him or herself. And that is only done through eternity separated from God. We talked about the fact God is love. Everybody loves that one, that God is love, and rightfully so. We talked about God reconciling man to himself through Christ, and that's where we left off. This morning, let's look at the results of God's provision. Some of the results. Number one, victorious living now. We are without excuse. We can live in victory right now. We don't have to sin. We choose to. Some scripture that we can look at. First one, John 5, verse number 24, a very familiar passage. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, Jesus speaking here, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, right now, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. That can never happen to the one that's truly born again, but is passed from death unto life. And if we are passed from death unto life, we cannot go back. We cannot lose that life that God in his grace has given us. Romans chapter 8, we are very familiar with these passages. The first one is Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. Most of us have memorized that verse. Our lives are a mosaic. All the pieces fit together. Only God knows what those pieces will be. We must trust in him and rely upon him, put our faith and confidence in him as we go through life and we face various trials and tribulations and heartaches and illnesses and all the other things that go along with life. There are disappointments, but all things work together for good. And that's for the child of God. That's for the one born into his family. Nothing can happen that God will not use for ultimate good of those who trust him. That should be a comfort, shouldn't it? That should be a comfort. Also, the power and victory of the resurrection are realities now as well. Let me look at one more verse, though, under victorious living. 1 John chapter 4. Probably my second favorite New Testament book. I don't know if I've told you. But Romans is my favorite book in the Bible. Somebody's going to think I'm serious, like I think I never told you. And you're going to think, oh, man, he's in the camp of Biden. We're going to have to consider committing him somewhere. But in chapter 4, 1 John 4, in verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We belong to Christ. We are secure in him, and we have overcome through Christ the wicked one. We don't have to give in to him. And then the power and victory of the resurrection in Ephesians chapter 1. And I understand that we would not obviously sit down and share all this scripture and all these things I'm giving you with someone we're trying to lead to Christ. But if that person asks questions, and obviously many do, we will have the ammunition necessary to be able to answer the questions and be more effective. Again, no way you can write all this down. So newvisionbaptistchurch.org sermon archives, you can click on that tomorrow afternoon and or later in the morning, and this will be up there, though I almost forgot to push that button, so it wouldn't have been up there. But in Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, the eyes of your understanding, and that's tied directly to our hearts. Some translations have that word understanding translated heart. Being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And then in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, yea, doubtless, or could be translated, yea, more than this. And I count all things but loss for the excellency, or their surpassing excellency, of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, or knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win. Same word as in verse number 7, translated gain, that I may win or gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of or in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, which changes us completely, that I may know him. Now, I already talked about knowing him, so we got something a little deeper here. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about going beyond the salvation experience and talking about knowing him intimately, experientially through life. And part of that is understanding that we are recipients of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. I lost my place in my notes. Hang on a second. Here we go. Through verse number 11. If by any means, or in order that, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So beyond knowing God in the mind, but understanding truth and knowing God in the heart. And as we grow in the Lord over a period of time, our knowledge of him should grow as well. We talk about this a little bit. It's part of what we're going to look at in the next hour when we talk about what Paul wrote to Titus regarding the older men in the church and older women as well, as he began to talk to individuals about their Christian life and Christian experience and how we should be described if someone was to look at us and describe our Christianity, how that should be described. Victorious Christian living. Now, secondly, eternal life. But this is beyond the actual receiving of Christ, like we talked about in John 5:24, where we have everlasting life right now, John 3:16, those kinds of verses. But this talks about the eternal life that we have now and how we build upon our relationship. Galatians 2:20 is one that we've referred to recently. And I'm going to read it because I tend to mix it up a little bit in my senior condition. Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Where the Bible says, the KJV says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Many translations have in faith. In the flesh I live, not by the faith of the Son of God, but in faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's talking about the power that's necessary to live a victorious Christian life. Can't do it without God's power, without God's Spirit, without that resurrection power. We recently looked at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 also has some scripture that go along with the same theme. And there are many more, of course. Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen or raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, the powerful working of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, obviously, baptism is just a sign. Water baptism is an outward expression of what's already happened inside. He's not talking here about water baptism. He's talking about spirit baptism. He's talking about our identifying with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And again, he's focused on that resurrection power, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead, having been dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so we need, as Christians, that union with Christ, don't we? In order to be successful in the Christian life. Can anyone save themselves? Well, not only can we not save ourselves, we cannot live the Christian life successfully in the energy of the flesh. A lot of folks don't get that. And they live in constant failure because they're trying to do it in their own power. When we try to do it in our own energy and power, we fail. And the more we fail, the less likely we are to even attempt. And then God has to stop working in us and start working on us, and that's called spanking. And no one likes to get spanked. But God said, if we're one that he loves and we fall out of line, then he's going to spank us. In Ephesians 2, verse number, I'm going to back up to verse 4, but God, he talked about the children of disobedience, those that are lost, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, brought us back to life, given us life, together with Christ. And then he has in parentheses, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We have been raised up together with him in newness of life. So again, we have eternal life, and that is not just something that happened and then we know we're going to heaven, so that's the end of it. No, we have the power that was given to Christ. Christ was raised up from the dead, and other places say, like John 2, that he raised himself up. All three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You might say, but Christ was dead. How could he raise himself up? Yeah, he was dead physically. He didn't cease to exist. He was still very much alive spiritually, wasn't he? So all three members of the Trinity, the Godhead, the triunity of God, the hardest thing for humanity to understand, how we know absolutely there is one God, correct? Bible's clear, there's one God, but yet manifested in three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now you explain that. We'll know one day, won't we? Another result of God's provision, number three, Jesus is preparing a place for us. And there's songs written about it and all kinds of, you know, believe me, Jesus is not in heaven with a carpenter's belt on. He doesn't have the, you know, the circular saw and the chop saw and, you know, air compressor with a nail gun up there. That's not exactly what's meant by going to prepare a place for us, is it? We talk about, you know, mansions, like we're going to go up there and we sing about it because KJV has mansions instead of dwelling places. I don't care if I live in a hut up there. Do you? We're not going to need any shelter. It's not going to rain there. The temperature is always going to be perfect. You know, there won't be any wind. It's going to be, I mean, the ideal everything. I mean, everything is going to be ideal. So the Lord, what he did, of course, is he prepared a place for us by taking care of our sin issue. Can God look upon any sin with favor? Would God allow any of us to be in his presence in our sinful condition? Of course not. So he went, of course, he applied his blood to the mercy seat in heaven. All sins that will ever be committed have been taken care of. It's just a matter of those whose sins have been forgiven to be willing to acknowledge their need to take part in that cleansing, acknowledge their lostness, and repent and receive Christ, believing that that blood shed upon the cross of Calvary was sufficient to wash away their sin. John 14, of course, we know this. Every funeral, I used to do it in some, I do it pretty much in every funeral because it's so awesome. It ties in well then with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that talks about the rapture. And I tie together how if Christ went to prepare a place for us, do we automatically just get there, or does something have to be done? And I talk about the rapture, how we're going to be removed from this earth if the Lord comes before we die. But in John 14, verses 1 through 6, somebody want to read those? You haven't been involved for a while. You want to read them?
Sure.
Go ahead, young fellow.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, you said 1 through 6?
Mm-hmm.
Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Thank you, sir. One of the clearest scripture in all the Bible showing Jesus is the only way. I am the way. And of course, he's talking about the way to heaven. That's the whole context of the passage, is I'm going to another place. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Because in the last end of the last chapter, Peter asked him, where are you going? And then, and of course, they were very upset over this. And Peter wanted, he said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Why do I have to wait? And then he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he talks about these dwelling places that he's going to prepare. He said, I am the way to heaven. I am the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. The truth which is consistent with itself. Truth corresponding with reality. I am the life. And by the way, it's the second key word in the Gospel of John, life. First key word is believe, or belief in forms of that word. So Jesus is preparing a place for us. And then if we go all the way to the end of the Bible to Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 21. If someone would like to read, just for the sake of encouragement and reminder, verses 1 through 8, Revelation 21, 1 through 8. Anybody want to read those? Anybody in the mood? All right, Miss Betty, go ahead.
21, 1 through 8.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared me a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. One more.
Two more.
He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
All right, so we see in Revelation 21, 1 through 8, things that are in heaven and things that aren't. Things that are in heaven and things that are. In verse number 1, and I'm not going to go through in detail these verses, but I just want to point out where the Bible says here, and I saw a new heaven. That's not new in a chronological sense. It's new in a qualitative sense. Okay, it's new in quality, totally distinct from the original. New heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Be new and fresh. Notice there will be no more sea. The new heavens and new earth will not be, the new earth will not be water-based. You know, what's the percentage that we're water? Yeah, is it 90, 92%? It's up there, isn't it? We're nothing but, we're sloshy, bunch of water. I don't know, the older I get, I'm kind of drying out. You know how you dry out, shrivel up. I think the water content is going down in me right now, but we're mainly water. We have most of the earth, three-fourths of the earth's surface is covered in water, correct? Well, that's not going to be necessary in the new heaven and the new earth. And when the holy city, New Jerusalem, comes down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, where the marriage is to be consummated, which is the eternal state for all believers. You know, we'll go from the millennium into the eternal state. It's going to be sweet. You ready for that, young fella? You have a comment?
I've talked about that being having been in science and things. Water is the basis for life.
Uh-huh.
Without water, there is no life. And I've often said, well, why won't there be water? And then it struck me that Jesus Christ is life. He is the life.
Yeah.
So there will be no need for water.
What a profound thought.
That's not my doing. That was
you're a scholar. Thing. There's no question. Amen. Yeah, I mean, most of what we think about now, the way we live now, is going to be totally different. There will be no need. There will be not a single porta potty in all of heaven. There will be no waste. Be no need for toilets. We can't imagine. I mean, so contrary to so much that we see as normal life on this earth now. Yes, sir?
I don't know if I'm remembering correctly. Didn't they say there won't even be a sun? That light will come.
Yes,
light
will come. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
God will be the light thereof. It's gonna be pretty awesome. It's gonna be pretty awesome. All right, let's see. What do we got next? All right, next is our response. And well, I'll go ahead and start it. I hate to start because it's right at that borderline. It's almost 22, but not quite. Our response. Salvation, of course, is God's gift. The gift is not earned. We talked about that recently, last Sunday, as a matter of fact, here in Sunday school. But the question is, how does one receive the gift? And so that's what we're going to look at. How does one receive the gift? We need, number one, to talk about what salvation is. In John chapter 3, one of the greatest descriptions of salvation, some of the things it includes, great passage, the whole chapter is wonderful, but especially the first 21 verses, where we can pick out what salvation is not from these verses, as well as what salvation is, and the impossibility of man being born again by his own energy, power, or goodness. John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water, many have tried to say that that's talking about physical birth versus spiritual birth, hogwash. Jesus wouldn't have said it that way. He's talking about the cleansing power of the Word of God, the necessity of the message of the gospel. There's no one that can be saved without the message of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. One could never be born again without the Bible. Who could be born again without the Bible? Where do we find the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How do we know that that's true? Because it's in the Word of God. And since we're sinners and we're dead in trespasses and sin before we come to Christ, and Paul wrote clearly in Romans 3, no one seeks after God unless God draws him, as Jesus talked about in John's gospel, then we know that the Spirit of God must get us to the point of acknowledging our sinfulness, convincing us that we're lost and we're facing definitive judgment one day if we don't respond. John 3:7 says you must be born again. Does that sound like a choice? He said, don't be amazed that when I tell you, you must be born a second time, which means that our first birth is rejected by God. Paul wrote in Romans 7:18, he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me. He said, I want to do what's right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Any question of doubt in that passage? If we are in the flesh, we cannot. No matter how religious we are, how good we may think we are, no matter what our pedigree is, no matter what the color of our skin is, doesn't matter what nation we were born in, doesn't matter how good we may appear to other people, we're lost. condemned, without hope in this present world. We know that God loved us, and so if we believe in his Son whom he sent, we shall not perish. John 3:15, he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16, if we believe in him, we will have eternal life. And of course, that includes believing in the necessity of his shed blood and to be washed in that blood. John 3:16, we will have then everlasting life. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Verse 18 also says, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then also we know, verse 20, everyone that does evil hates the light. So salvation is not just being good. And that's where we will stop. Any questions, comments? Today is the 24th of November. We only have a little over a month, 5 weeks left in this year. Wow. January 20th cannot come quick enough. All right, let's go over the prayer list. Thank you, sir. Can you pray for the church? Gary and Kathy are not here. They're not sick. Everything's cool. They texted me yesterday. Unfortunately, they don't have any car seats in their vehicles, and they have the two little great-grandchildren, and so they're not here today. Also, I got a text from Rebecca, not this Rebecca, but Rebecca Force. Her mom, Ruth, finally passed the swallow test, though they were feeding her things that would require that the swallow. They knew that she was all right. They still haven't taken the food and feeding tube out of her stomach. It goes in, not down through her throat, but through directly into her stomach, because somebody has to do that. And I don't know why appointments seem to be. It's getting worse and worse, is it not? It's one of the benefits of Obamacare. It's worked so well. She had been pretty much out of pain. She didn't have any pain, but now she's starting to have swelling under her tongue and starting to have some pain, which is not a good sign at all, considering that she had mouth cancer and had a chunk of her jaw removed. So pray for Ruth. They don't have an appointment yet. As of now, she's scheduled to go back toward the end of December. Whether they're going to wait till then or get her in sooner, I don't know. So pray for Ruth. Pray for our nation. Far left radicals are going ballistic, trying to do everything already they can to upset, like letting Ukraine drop some bombs on Russia that are provoking Putin. Pray we don't end up in World War III, okay? Pray for the hurricane victims. We need to pray for them for a long time into the future. Got a lot has to be done. It's going to take months and months and months. Pray for our troops around the world, law enforcement, Israel, and Ukraine. Pray that this thing will not escalate to the point that when Trump gets in there, there won't be any way to settle this thing easily. It's already now more difficult that U.S.-made bombs have been launched into the interior of Russia. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Mark and his health. Rhonda, continued strength and great faith. Rhonda's mom in the nursing home. Mary had some injections on Monday. Said she's doing a little bit better. Would take some time for those to kick in. But pray for Mary. Pray for Gary's sister, who has leukemia. Tried to call her twice and got the answering machine. She may not be doing very well. Gary, as of last Sunday, did not know. He hadn't heard any specifics. She is getting treatments. So pray for Darlene, 85 years old. Kathy, of course, has her knee replaced January 7th. Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Continue to pray for Mike Groom's grandson. Haven't got any update on him. Pray for Ronnie. I do not know whether he's had his surgery or not. Anybody know? Anybody hear anything from Ronnie? Pray for Ronnie's family. Remember, his nephew has passed away. David and Yvonne did sell their home. Matter of fact, there was a bidding war, and they ended up getting enough to pay all the costs in selling their home. So they got whatever they sold it for. It included everything they had to pay, all the closing costs, all that stuff. So that's a big hallelujah, isn't it? Anna Dale has some coming procedures and surgery December the 11th, and then later next year, March the 20th. How you getting along, Anna Dale? You doing okay?
Yeah.
You're pretty tough, aren't you?
I'm trying to be.
Well, you are. Pray for Judy Shade. She is home but needs our prayers. The Barker family passing away of Linda. The Ryder family passing of Tiffany, Joshua's wife. The Ryder family. All right. Anybody have anything you want to add this morning? I normally don't. Sometimes I ask you, sometimes I don't, because this is back there for your use. But anybody? All right. Let's stand together. Take these requests to our Lord in prayer. And we do believe that our God hears and answers prayer, do we not? So let's pray with faith, believing that God's will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a great God that hears and answers prayer. We're not worthy of you being a God that does listen and hear and respond and answer. Sometimes we don't like the answer. But Lord, we're thankful that you do hear and answer prayer. We pray for our church. We pray for growth. We pray for health. We pray, Lord, for spiritual growth among those that are a part of the church. And we pray for those that haven't yet committed to membership, that, Lord, you would break their hearts and bring them into our family. And we pray that we could then join hearts together and minds together and serve you and seek to win others to Christ. We pray for our nation during these critical days when the far-left radicals are trying to throw a wrench in the works and cause great difficulty for President Trump and those that he's chosen for his cabinet, already coming up with ways they say they're going to try to block everything. We pray, Lord, you would intervene and break hearts, and Lord, we pray that the will of the people for a change would be what motivates these politicians and not their own power hungriness and desire to control everything. We pray, Lord, for those that have suffered through these hurricanes and storms and flooding and all that was involved. And we ask, Lord, that you would provide their needs, comfort hearts of those who have lost family members and those that are physically suffering because of what happened in these storms. Please heal and provide. And God, we thank you for what you are doing. We pray for safety for our troops. We pray, Lord, you'd watch over and protect our first responders. And we ask, Lord, that there'd be healing in our nation. We pray, Lord, for Israel and Ukraine, that these wars would be stopped, that the enemies of Israel would be defeated, and that we would stay out of their business and stop trying to cause issues and pray for them and support them. And we pray again, Lord, that those in Israel that know not Messiah Jesus, that through these times of suffering would turn their lives to him. We pray for those we called out to you, Lord, that have physical needs. Some are facing surgeries and tests And Lord, we pray that, for instance, for Mary that has had these shots, that they would indeed alleviate her pain. And we pray, Lord, for Darlene, that, Father, if it would glorify you, you would heal her. We pray for Ruth, that seems to have taken a turn for the worse. We pray, God, for healing for her, that the pain and the swelling in her mouth is not due to cancer, but something that can be easily remedied. We pray for Mark, Lord, that you would encourage his heart, heal his body and mind, and for Rhonda's mom, that you continue to help her to be at peace there in the home. And thank you that she seems to have settled in very well. We pray that you continue to give Rhonda strength as she goes from place to place. We pray for Mike Groom, Pastor Groom's grandson, that there be healing for him. We pray for the families that have suffered the loss of a loved one, the Barker family and the Ryder family. Please comfort them and draw them to the Savior through this time of loss. Lord, we pray you bless the coming hour as folk come in. We pray that your Holy Spirit would have free course, ministering from heart to heart. And Lord, help us this week, as we should all the time as believers, but in a special way as we gather with family, to be mindful of your constant blessings upon us, how you provided for us and continue to provide for us. Lord, please help us to always be a thankful people, thankful first of all for our salvation that you freely gave us. We pray if there's anyone here this morning that cannot say with assurance, yes, I know that if I died, I would be in the presence of God because I have repented of my sin and I've received Christ. And I know that I've been washed in his blood, for I believe that he died upon that cross, was buried and rose again, and I receive him into my life and heart as Savior and Lord. So, Father, may you be glorified in all that's said and done. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to have to start pretty much on time. We got a four-minute Thanksgiving video this morning. So that gives us about 8 minutes or so. And we will get started.